I wanted to start. So a little fact about myself, if you don't know me too well, kind of a random little nugget about myself. Maybe raise your hand. I'm not a gift person. Do I have any other people that like, I could take or leave? If you got me a gift, I'll say thank you. You know, is anyone not really, you know, like the love languages, you're not really a gift person? No? Okay, so not many of us. Okay, well, you're not going to be able to relate. But so I'm not a gift person. So if Miss Julie, my kids, like, Daddy, you know, like, what can we get you for Father? You know, Father's Day was a couple, a couple weeks ago. I'm just like, a nap, you know, that'd be like, that's all I want. You know, just give me like hour and a half. Just don't knock on the bedroom door. Just let me sleep. You know, that is all I want. You know, like, let me sleep. I'm not getting to my grumpy old man phase yet. Like that hasn't totally kicked in, I don't think. Maybe it is because I'd want a nap. But I've always been that way. Even as like a kid, my mom would be like, you know, Jared, like write a list. And my brother and sister, they'd have like this Christmas list, this birthday list of what they wanted to get, you know, for those holidays, for those different things. And I was just like, nothing. Like, as far back as I can remember, so I don't know about like 2, 3, 4, but as like a kid, I was just like, I don't want anything. Like, I don't, whatever, Mom. Like, whatever you get for me, Mom. But there was one Christmas when I was like 11 or 12 where I was like, I'd really wanted something. So I was like, man, I'm gonna ask for that because I never asked for anything, and I'll get it because I never asked for anything. So I asked for, anybody ever seen like Lord of the Rings, the old, like that came out in the 2000s, like the original, like the good ones? Okay, so so they had come out that fall with the Lord of the Rings trilogy, so it's three movies, but it was the extended version. So instead of it being like 9 hours, because they were really long, it was like 11 and a half hours. So I'm like, Mom, I really want this movie set. It's awesome. Like, it's way longer. It's way better. And I actually wanted a Risk board game. So I like to play games. So I was like, Mom, I really want this DVD set, because we had DVDs back in the day. And then also I wanted this board game. So, I asked for it really ahead of time, gave my parents plenty of time to get it for me. You know, didn't want to leave it to chance. And I was really confident I'd get it, because I'd never asked for anything before. So I wasn't like, you know, once the presents appeared under the tree, it wasn't like shaking it. You know, I was like, hey, that one's the board game and that one's the DVD set. I know what I'm getting. Christmas comes, I open it up and it wasn't a surprise, but it wasn't. I got what I'd asked for. I'd gotten my movie set and my board game set. So I was really excited. But, you know, most kids, they don't know what they're getting for Christmas. They're like, you know, you got to kind of like hide the presents. You wrap them real well. They're shaking them. They're trying to open up the corners. If you had kids, grandkids, you know that they're like trying to figure out what they got because they've got this big old list. Well, I didn't have to. Waiting for me for Christmas that year was really, really easy. But, you know, most kids, most people, when we're waiting on something, it's not easy to do. You know, for me, that one situation, and I have some other situations that I'll talk about that, you know, the waiting's not so easy. But in that one situation, it's easy. But for most of us, most of our life, when we have to wait for something, it's in our minds. We're focused on it. We're wanting to speed up the process. If there's a way, you know, like, hey, if I can do this, you know, I've heard some people, like, with Christmas, you know, like, hey, if you do this thing, we'll give you one present on Christmas Eve. Maybe you get an early one. But, you know, life is not normally that way. We've got to wait for the process. We've got to wait for the timing of that thing. So that's what I want to talk to y'all about today, being faithful in the waiting. So if you want to, if you're taking notes, if you want to write that down, that's, Mr. Lee said not to say it's my title, but that's my title. Faithful in the waiting, being faithful in the waiting for what God has, for what we want, what we think God wants for us, and what God wants for us. And, you know, as I say that, you know, I would assume some of y'all, something that pops in your head, and you know, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting on God for? You know, I was thinking as an adult, you know, as I'm raising my kids, I think the most impactful thing, you know, and I want good jobs for them, I want good spouses and healthy kids and all that, but for my kids, the biggest thing that I want for them is that they'll follow God when they get to make that choice on their own, when they're out from underneath my roof. What are the choices that they're going to make? You know, all those other things don't really matter to me. I want them to follow God. So I know, I've talked to some of y'all that you've got kids that aren't following God, and that's heavy on your heart. You know, what are you waiting for? You're waiting for them to come back to Jesus. You know, some of you teenagers, single adults, you know, maybe you're waiting on a spouse. You know, that's in your mind. You look forward to that happening someday. You're waiting on that significant other. Maybe you're waiting for healing, you know, for yourself or for somebody else. You know, you've got something in your body that you'd love God to touch and take away. maybe a job, maybe finances, maybe just a change in circumstances. I know there's been times in my life I've talked to some of y'all, and I know there's situations where you're unsettled because you know that God's got something different for you. You know, you might be in an okay state. You're providing for your family. Your family's all right. Your kids are all right. But you're just not settled because you know that God's got something different for you. Something different for you to do. Something for you to speak to. But God's got something different for you, and that's just in your heart and in your mind, and you're waiting on that. I just want to say, like, you're not alone. I'm waiting on stuff. I know a lot of us are waiting on stuff, and even in the Bible, we see a lot of people. We're waiting, and waiting is hard, you know, and through the Bible, I listed off a couple just so you know you're not alone. In the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, they waited around 25 years for their promised son. God had met with Abraham, said, I'm going to make you a great nation, a great father of the Israelites. He had no kids, so it's like, you know, God, I'm sure Abraham's like, God, he said it. He's like, I don't know how you're going to do this. We're old. We're beyond childbearing. Like, how is that going to happen? And they waited 25 years for that promise to happen. Moses and the Israelites, you know, after they got God rescued them out of Egypt. God set them free. They wandered in the desert for 40 years waiting for the promised land, for God to let them go into the promised land because of the decisions they had made. David waited for 15 years after being anointed king. I don't know. That one always kept hitting me when I was reading over this. I'm like, David's anointed king. Like, he has anointed the king. There's not a question there. It's just waiting on God's time. And he waited around 15 years. And all that time, he's on the run. He's in fear for his life from the king at the time that he's supposed to replace. But he's waiting. And, if you read the story about David, he had opportunities to kill the king, which you're like, you know, it seems like it's God's timing. It seemed like God surrendered the king into his hand. But he knew it wasn't God's. He didn't want to be the one to kill the king. He knew it wasn't God's time. And so he waited, even though there was kind of opportunities. He waited 15 years. Jesus also healed a paralyzed man. He'd been paralyzed for 38 years. He'd been waiting for his healing, going to the pool to be touched, for when the water was stirred, that he'd be able to get in and be healed. He waited 38 years, and then Jesus came along and healed him in that moment. Guys, also Jesus, you know, we want to look at Jesus as an example for our life. Jesus waited 30 years for his ministry to start. You know, he was born and lived his life for 30 years. That's a good amount of time for you to live your life and to not be doing your calling, not be doing what God's put in your heart. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you're waiting on something, stay faithful in it. Be faithful in the waiting. Guys, I want to dive just a little bit into Jesus' life before his ministry started and just see a couple little things. We don't know a lot about that time. Scripture's really, really faint on Jesus' time before his ministry began. But there are a couple verses that we're going to pull out and look at. The first thing I just want to mention is Jesus stayed, while Jesus waited, he stayed connected to the source, to God. And if Jesus did it, guys, we need to do it. We need to stay connected to the source. We have to stay connected to the source. Of our life, of our calling, of who we are as Christians, as believers. Guys, I got a couple of verses I want us to read just to go over. That way you know I'm not throwing things at you that aren't in the Bible. But I want to do a sword drill. Like I said, I'm the children's pastor. I had to bring a little bit of the kids' service in. So if y'all don't know what a sword drill is, it's where you got to hold your Bible up in the air, and then I'm going to tell you a verse, and you got to try to find it as quick as you can. And normally, I make the kids run up here once they've got it and read it to me. I'm not going to make any of y'all run, but if you want to, I thought about it, but I was like, yeah, I know some of y'all are competitive. Like, the kids are all right, you know? But I know some of y'all might be throwing elbows or something. So if you've got, if you've got a paper Bible, I say cell phones don't count because that's kind of like cheating. That's real quick. But if you've got a paper Bible and you want to help me with my sword drill, if you want to hold it up, I'm going to tell you a verse and I want you to find it. And if you're the first one or you think you're the first one to find it, go ahead and stand up and we'll see if you're the fastest at drawing your sword this morning, okay? So y'all ready? I got to see some Bibles. We got to have some participate. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so y'all ready? So, well, usually we keep it up, but you can keep it down. That's fine. All right, y'all ready? All right, here we go. So I need somebody to find for me. And again, you don't have to run up. You just stand up. You're good like that. I need somebody to find Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Ready, set, go. Luke 2, nah. You already found it, Matthew? I don't see anybody else stand up. Were you looking at my notes? Because I stood right in front of you. Are you sure? Y'all are sneaky like that in kids' church. I know it. All right, I see some ladies back here. Do you really have it? Man, you're good. So I was kind of debating about making, do you want to read it for me? Can you kind of like belt, you don't want to read it? Okay. He found it. Did you really find it that quick? dude, you're a ninja, mate. So Matthew, he just moved up to youth 6 months ago, a year ago, and he was usually one of my first ones finding the scripture. So I kind of believe him, but he was really quick there. So if y'all want to turn in Luke chapter 2, if you haven't found it yet, you can turn there. Matthew, you get a prize. Good job. Yay. I don't know what the prize is, but you win. Good job. I just want to recap a couple verses before that, and then I'll read the verse 46 and a couple verses after that. But this is scripture about Jesus. It says that he was about 12 years old during this time, and it says that every year his parents, Mary and Joseph, would go to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. They'd go and celebrate that. That was really common for the Jewish people at the time to go to Jerusalem during the Passover. So they were there. They did the festival, the different things they were supposed to do, and they're heading home. You know, it's a little bit of a journey. They're heading home with their caravan. It says their family was there. And they didn't have Jesus, like, at their side. It wasn't like, hey, Jesus, we're home. You know, he's 12. So, like, any teenage, you know, boy, he's running around. Like, they're not worried about it. They're like, Jesus is fine. He's a big boy. You know, he's our firstborn. He's responsible. So they, like, they leave Jerusalem, and it just says that they were going. And then that night when they, I don't know if they camped, they were, like, having family dinner. I don't know what they were doing. But they realized that night that Jesus wasn't there. So they're, like, going, like, auntie, like, do you have Jesus? Like, yo, cousin, Jesus in your tent? Like, they cannot find Jesus in their group that's heading home. So then they, you know, they start to worry. They start to get a little nervous. And it says they head back to Jerusalem because they're like, well, we must have left. We left him somewhere in the big city. You know, he's lost, crying in a corner. So the Bible says, the scriptures say that they looked for him for 3 days, which I'm like, that's a long, like, if you don't know, like, teenage kid, like, 3 days, that's like, he's gone. Like, 3 days, that's not good. Like, the Amber Alert's gone out, like, 1, 2, 3 days. Like, 3 days is I should have asked Mr. Daniel, but 3 days is not good. Like, if you're missing somebody for 3 days. So that's where we pick up in verse 46. They finally find him, thankfully, after three and a half days, whatever it was. So 3 days, in verse 46, I'm reading out of the NLT version. It says, 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. So they found Jesus. It's good. Like, yay, Jesus is alive. He's good. So they find him, and he's in the temple in God's house asking the leaders questions and learning from them. And so all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So in response, like, Jesus isn't just asking questions. Like, he's responding to them. It kind of implies that they might have been asking him questions, and he's answering things. You know, they didn't realize that they had Jesus sitting at their feet. Like, that's pretty cool, you know, that they had the opportunity to learn from Jesus. I'm sure they didn't realize, but that they should have, you know. So verse 48, his parents didn't know what to think. They're like, son, you put us through it. You've been gone for 3 days. So they didn't know what to think. It says, son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? This is terrible. You know, your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. Couldn't find you for 3 days. But Jesus said, but why did you need to search? He asked, didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. So guys, Jesus was pretty clear with them. You know, like, he wasn't trying to be mean, trying to be malicious, trying to, like, you know, make them upset. But he just needed to be in his father's house. He set an example for us that even though he wasn't starting his ministry yet, it was important for him to be in God's house. Important for him to be in the presence of God and learning, you know, learning at the feet of teachers, which, again, I'm like, I don't know how much they had to teach him, but, like, he was faithful to be at the feet of the teachers to be learning. Guys, we've got to make an intentional decision just like Jesus did. And we know that, like, as he got older, there's no verses about it, but we know that he was in God's house. It says that he grew in wisdom and stature. So he grew physically, but he also grew in the knowledge of God and in the Old Testament and what was there for them to know. So he didn't just, like, go to God's house one time when he was 12 and then never darken the doors. Guys, we need to be doing the same thing. To be faithful in our waiting, we gotta be doing the same. We gotta be in God's house. And even if it's it might require a sacrifice for us. You know, I'm sure, you know, I don't know if they spanked Jesus, but I'm sure, like, Jesus would be like, hey, like, I might get in trouble, but I need to be in God's house. I got to be where God needs me to be for me to learn, for me to be able to prepare myself for what God has for me in the future. So we need to choose to be committed and prioritize being here in God's house, being in the presence of him. You know, it's good to worship at home. It's good to be reading our Bible at home, but it's also good for us to fellowship and be together in community in worshiping God. God, we also got to stay connected to the source. We got to be in God's house, and we got to stay connected to the source to be in and know God's word, and not just be in it, not just be like, hey, I read a chapter today, I'm good, you know, checking that box of, you know, I was in God's word today. We need to be studying it. We need to be memorizing it. And guys, I've said it before. I was in junior Bible quiz as a kid. I grew up in the church. I was in Sunday school, went to youth group, went to big service, all those things. Guys, the majority of things that stick with me today and that got me through my college and all those things are things that I learned in junior Bible quiz because there was repetition and memorization. Guys, we need to be memorizing and studying God's word. It's not just good enough for us to glance over it, to come to Sunday school and to just be like, oh, I checked this box for the week. We really should be memorizing and retaining and hiding God's word in our heart. And that's what, for junior Bible quiz, that was that for me, where I hid God's word in my heart. I hid core verses and core Bible facts that have stuck with me through my hard times as a young adult and in college and even in my life right now, in marriage and dealing with kids and stuff. So I had God's word in my heart. That way, when I needed to pull something, when I needed to have a verse, a reminder, it was there for me. I didn't have to say, oh, I need to find it quick in my Bible. Like, where's this verse that talks about being faithful? Where's this verse that talks about, you know, loving others or serving or, you know, whatever comes up? It was already there in my heart and in my mind. We need to have God's word in our heart. Guys, we also got to, you know, kind of the basic church attendance, reading, and pray. We got to pray, guys. We got to be connected with Jesus. We got to have that communication, and not just one way. We need to also be listening and doing our best to hear from God from his word, but also hear from him when we're praying to him, when we're talking to him, and listening. And some part of that, guys, God might not speak to you in an audible voice like I do, but the people that we're around will speak to us and speak into us as well and speak God's word to us. Guys, we will not be content and honor God while we wait if we're not having a relationship with him. While we're waiting for that thing that we need in our life, that we feel like God's put in our life, if we are not connected with him and having a relationship with him and hearing from him, we're going to be discontented. We're not going to be happy in that valley, in that time of waiting. Because, you know, waiting's not easy. Waiting's not fun. Guys, we got to stay faithful where you are at. You know, as you're waiting, as you're in the valley, as you're waiting for that thing, I think we got to, yeah, stay faithful where we're at. I want to just turn back, if you still got it open, read a couple more verses in Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and 51 and 52. It says, then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. I love that in verse 51. You know, it doesn't say that he returned to Nazareth with them and was disgruntled and would always run away and be at God's house and, you know, he wouldn't be disrespectful, but just, you know, Jesus wasn't around. He had to be, you know, learn it. No, it says that he was obedient to them, to both of them, to his mother and his father. He was there with them. He was present. He was in that time of waiting. He wasn't not there. He was in his parents' house. He was with them. Guys, so like I said, we don't know a lot about that period. You know, after this, there's not really much about Jesus until he gets baptized by John the Baptist. So we go from about age 12 to about age 30 where we really don't hear anything about Jesus, okay? So in that time, you know, we can just kind of assume a couple things. It says that he grew in stature and in wisdom. So we know that he physically grew. He's a young man. He grew into a man. And he also grew in wisdom and favor with all the people and with God. You know, we know his father was a carpenter. He had a trade. So we can pretty safely assume that Jesus would have learned that trade. And whether it was a carpenter with wood or a stonemason with stones, he would have worked with his hands. But his ministry, what he was waiting on when he turned 30, it doesn't really talk about him building chairs for people. You know, it doesn't talk about him building a stone wall. Like, he was faithful in his time of waiting and honoring his parents and learning this trade that would never apply to him, you know, in his ministry that God had ordained for, that God sent him from heaven to live and to die for us. You know, he didn't build the cross that he was crucified on, right? Like, he was faithful to learn these things, to honor his parents, to honor his family and his father, whatever the trade was, specifically, you know, carpentry or stonemason. He did that to honor his family and to be faithful where he was at. And guys, as we're waiting, as we're in a time of waiting, I don't know what God's going to have you going through, learning, but just be faithful in it. You know, whether it's like, hey, I'm doing this thing, but I know God has me, you know, God wants me to speak to people, you know, preach to people, whatever, but I'm a factory worker right now. You know, I'm making ice cream at the ice cream factory. You know, be faithful in that. Be the best worker that your company, your factory has. Honor God in that time. Work on yourself. You know, guys, maybe you're waiting on a spouse, you're waiting on a significant other. Work on yourself. Don't just be like, oh, you know, God, when are you going to bring that person, that man, that woman, you know, that's going to make me so good, and we're going to be married, and we're going to be happy and have babies and all this stuff. Like, work on yourself. Don't focus on, pray for them, pray for your spouse, whoever that person is, but work on yourself. Follow Jesus, fall more in love with Jesus. Learn his word, be faithful, serve, you know, work on your character, work on yourself during that time. You know, hey, if you're looking for God for healing, you're looking for God for, pray for others. Be that for somebody else. Don't just wait and sit. Don't just focus on the thing that you're waiting on and be useless other than that. Learn, train, be valuable to the kingdom, be a good neighbor, you know, to the community here at the church, to those around you. Love and serve. And still yearn for that, still seek that. You know, I guarantee you, you know, this time of, in the scripture, we don't hear from Jesus. He didn't just clock out. He was working on himself. It says he grew in wisdom and favor with God and people. We know that he was in the Old Testament. He was learning the word. He was in the house of God. He was bettering himself and learning, you know, all that God had for him to begin his ministry. But he also was also good in the time that he was at. You know, he was valuable to his family. Guys, we've got to be patient and obedient while we wait, which is not easy. You know, we want the thing that we're focused on, the healing, the new job, the spouse. We want that thing, and we look forward to that thing, but be faithful where you're at. Be diligent where you're at. Don't just sit and just pine for it, you know. Be faithful in the waiting. So it's hard not to force things. It's hard not to, you know, if we see an off ramp to get what we, or to think what we get what we want, it's hard not to take that. You know, but wait on God's timing. You know, we saw, I mentioned Abraham. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they knew this promise thing, but they knew they were old. So they tried to achieve what they thought God had for them in their own doing. You know, I wouldn't mention it in kids' church, but I can mention it here. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they presented Sarah's servant and was like, hey, let's make a baby with her. Like, you know, get married to or whatever. So they went around God's will for Abraham and Sarah, and it produced a son. It produced an heir, but it wasn't God's timing. It wasn't what God had for Abraham. You know, and it created problems. It created turmoil and strife because Abraham and Sarah tried to shortchange, tried to get off the off ramp of waiting and make it happen on their own. So guys, it's not going to be easy. When we feel like God's put something in our heart, when we've got a heavy burden for our kids, when we have a heavy burden for the healing that we need, you know, it's going to feel like, hey, like whatever we can do to expedite it, but be faithful. Keep loving on your kids. You know, don't pound them over the head and shut the door. Just keep loving and praying for them. They'll be faithful to see your continued love for them and that your support of them and whatever you don't agree with. Love them. Let them know, hey, Jesus loves you. You grew up in the church. I'm praying for you. But don't shortchange that. Don't beat them over the head. Keep loving on them. Keep letting them know that you're with them. And guys, I think that's probably the hardest thing in the waiting is not trying to jump ahead of God's process. I wanted to mention, and I've told the kids about it before. I don't know if I've mentioned it or told you yet, but I dated a girl in high school and in my first year of college. She wasn't saved. You know, it was one of those like, hey, if I date her, maybe she'll come to the church and it'll be all good. Which is not good, guys. Don't do that. Like, it might work once in a while, but it's just not worth the compromise that you have to make to date somebody like that. Find somebody that loves Jesus as much or, hey, even more than you'd be better. So this girl, she's a good girl, but she just was open to God, but wasn't in the same situation, in the life situation, in the same place as me. And so dated her, tried to force what I wanted in my timing. You know, I didn't want to be a single guy. I wanted to be married and have a spouse. Didn't want to be single. So it messed me up, though. It wasn't the right thing for me. I tried to force what I wanted and in my time. And thinking back on the story when I was working on this, it was crazy. I never thought about this before, but the girl I dated, I didn't go to the college that I knew I needed to, that God was calling me to. down in Florida that God had spoken to me like, hey, Jared, you need to go to this place. I waited a year so that I could stay local because I was dating this girl. And it ended over that time period. She went off on her own. I was away at my college. And I needed that time to kind of move on. But if I would have broke it off and not gone through the turmoil of doing what I knew I shouldn't have been doing, I would have ended up at the college where I met my wife a year sooner. I would have, like, I pushed things back a year for what God had for me because of my stubbornness, my pigheadedness, like my wanting to do it on my own. I messed things up. I pushed things back for a year that I would have met my wife a year sooner and progressed things a year sooner. So sorry about that, babe. I messed that up. Still met her, thankfully, but yeah, could have been a year sooner. You got a whole nother year with me. hopefully you're bummed about that. So, all right. So I tried to shortchange. I tried to expedite what I knew God had for. I knew God had somebody for me, but I tried to make that happen in my own timing, and I tried to compromise, and it wasn't God's will for my. And I even in the living that time, I knew it. Like I knew I wasn't supposed to be with that person. I didn't want to let her go. So I messed that up, guys. So we got to be careful to try not to force God's will for our life. You know, there's too many situations when we're waiting. And what God's called us, what God's given us, that we try to force it. You know, we're like, hey, you know, it's been 6 months, it's been a year, it's been a couple of, like, Jesus, like, I'm done waiting. Like, let's get this thing on the road. But just be faithful in what God. Work on yourself. Work on those around you. Love those. You know, and be faithful in the waiting. Don't shortchange it. Don't try to off ramp before God has what he has for you. You know, don't be discouraged either. When things don't look like what you're hoping for, you know, when you're still in that waiting, don't be discouraged. Just stay faithful to the process of God working in your heart and life. You know, maybe you're not ready. I probably wasn't ready to meet my wife when, you know, if I would have went to that year of college. I had to get myself set, get myself right. That way I was ready to meet her and to move forward in our relationship. But work on yourself. Don't just stay stagnant in where you're at in your season of waiting. Kind of a last point, last thing, stay connected in community. Guys, we learn in the Gospels that right before Jesus' ministry started, he was baptized by John the Baptist, so kind of picking up back in Jesus' life. So he was about 30 at this time. He was baptized by John the Baptist, and that kind of symbolizes like his coming out of the waiting, the time where he wasn't doing ministry. So he was baptized, and then he was taken away into the desert. He went to the desert. He fasted there. And during that time, Satan met with him. And Satan was like, hey, I'm going to try like one last-ditch effort to mess up what God has for Jesus, what the ministry is about to begin for Jesus. So we see that Satan comes, and he tempts him three different times, three different ways. He tempts him with his belly, you know, which like for a dude after fasting for a while, like that's a pretty good temptation. And then he tempts him with power and authority and also just tempting God's will. So guys, I thought it was interesting that like right before Jesus' ministry starts, Satan came at him and took him, like came at him during a time of isolation. He was by himself in the desert. He didn't have, you know, he didn't have his best friend. He didn't have the disciples yet to help him, to help carry him, to help be a sounding board for him. And that's when Satan went at him to trick him, to deceive him, to lie to him. And guys, in our seasons of waiting, we can feel so isolated. We can feel like we're all alone, and that's just Satan trying to get at us, trying to find opportunity to mess with us. If we're isolated, if we're by ourselves, we don't have the community, we don't have those around us to speak the truth to us. You know, if we're not in God's house, we're missing that about the community of those sitting next to us. We're missing out on the preaching and the fellowship of God's word. But even just personally, like even just in your time, in your community that you choose to have outside of this place, it's so vital for us to not be isolated. My wife and I have gotten to see that peace. You know, I've waited for different things in my life, but in this time of waiting that I'm in and my wife's in, we've seen how isolation, and if you separate yourself, how big of an impact that can have in your life. My son mentioned the four-year-old that's almost five. His name is Easton. He's up in the, he's not in the kids ministry, kids church. He's up here with my wife. You know, like I said, I don't know a lot of y'all, so I'm going to just give you a little bit of snippet about Easton. Those of you who have been to the church for 3-4 years, you probably know our story, Easton's story. But like I said, I see a lot of new people, which is cool. So my son, he was born like 4 or 5 months. He started having seizures. He was normal when he was born. Started having seizures around 4 or 5 months old. We took him in through the process, found out he has a rare genetic mutation that has kind of capped his development, and also it causes him to have a lot of seizures every day he'll seize. You know, it's a really, really rare good day if he doesn't have a couple. And then when he, after he's been sick or just if there's different situations, he will have seizures anywhere from like 20, 30 up to like 50, 60, sometimes even 100 in a day. Thankfully, they're shorter. They're not like the like crazy shaking, like you think, you know, flopping on the floor, like you kind of picture a seizure. They're usually a couple minutes long, but when he's having a lot of them, they can also get long. So that, and he's almost five, so he's been with us since 2019. So that's been our life since he was about 4 months, just caring for him. And after we got out of Le Bonheur Hospital in Memphis, after about 4 months of just trying to figure out how to care for him, how to get him stable, COVID hit. Like literally we were in Memphis at the hospital and there was two, I always tell people there were two confirmed cases of COVID in Memphis. It was literally two. And like we discharged that day. So we came back to Brighton, came back to Covington. I think I worked 5-6 days and then like the world shut down, you know, back in the day with the COVID shutdown. So the doctors were saying, you know, if he gets COVID, it's going to be really bad for him, just how sickly he is, immunocompromised. So we lived like the COVID lifestyle, the COVID life. I mean, if y'all were here for a couple months, we were still wearing N95 masks like in the spring, myself and my kids. But because of his instability and just immunocompromisedness, we were very isolated for a year, year and a half. And even since then, my wife, she'll typically stay home with Easton. She wanted to come hear me today, so she made it happen. We figured he'd be fine. Kind of the biggest thing with his care besides the seizures is when he gets sick, it really messes with him. He's on oxygen. We have to go to the hospital. And then after that, he seizes a lot. So any kind of illness, like even just like kind of a runny nose, or a little bit of a cough, you know, kind of like even allergy symptoms, but it's a sickness, it really jacks him up. So we've lived a life of isolation and waiting for God to touch him and waiting, you know, believing. It, kind of our time of waiting right now is to see what God will do in his life. God will touch him and heal him and move in him. But because we chose to, because we felt like we had to, we had been very isolated, even 6 months to a year back the last few years. And I was thankful. I was able to come to church, do my job, but my wife has stayed home. And even just talking with her the last few months, trying to be intentional for her to be around more, be around you guys. And she said she's noticed the difference of being isolated for literally a few years, not being around you guys, being around friends. The difference it's made in her spirit and her just outlook on life, like isolation is not good. And I think we see that with kids too these days where, you know, you're isolated on your phone, focused on that, you know, and kids that maybe aren't going to school. There's just something about community, about having friends, about having peers that we do life with. We have to have that. And my wife can attest, like being by yourself, you get in your own head. It messes with your spirit. You don't have somebody to say, hey, come on, pick yourself. It's going to be okay. Jesus loves you. You know, like God's with us. God will help us. We've got to have community. We cannot isolate in our waiting. We cannot be by ourselves or we will shortchange what God has for us. We won't get there. We will not get to where God wants us to be in the isolation. You know, we see Satan attacked Jesus in the isolation. And he even used scripture. So if Satan's going to use scripture to try to deceive Jesus, Satan's going to mess with us, and he's going to use scripture. You know, he's going to twist things in our head, and we're not going to have a sounding board of a pastor or a peer that we're close with that we know that's in the Word, that's grounded in Christ. We've got to be around people that are like-minded, that are on the same journey, the ultimate journey of following Jesus, getting to heaven, you know, living the Christian life. We've got to be with those that are like us as well. And nothing bad about the ball, you know, the travel team crew, you know, the you know, whatever your knitting crew, you know, but we've got I don't know what ladies do, you know, hopefully not your like gossip crew, you know, like we don't want to be doing that. I know what the kids do. I don't know what you guys, I don't know what you guys do, but that's all good. But we've got to be fellowshipping with those that are in this place, that are like-minded, that are following Jesus, that are trying to get to the same place as us, That way they can encourage us and challenge us. And when we're in the valleys of waiting, when we're in the hard places of waiting, and we've experienced a lot of hard times with Easton, you know, we're in the hospital and we're separated from our kids and it's just hard. You guys have encouraged us. You guys have spoken life into us. We know that you guys are praying for us, and you've got to have that community for yourself. When you're in your waiting time, when you're in a hard time, you've got to have a peer, a co-laborer in Christ that's going to encourage and challenge you and lift you up and help you in your path to what God has for you. Guys, Satan's going to mess with you and try to deceive you and try to mess you up. Guys, surrounding yourself with community is so important. It's so valuable. We gotta be closer to Jesus and closer with those that are following Jesus. Trying to make sure I don't miss anything important. All right. Sorry, I want to make sure. I was just kind of going with this. I want to make sure I don't miss something. But guys, that's pretty. I'm going to be getting y'all out pretty early. Guys, that's about it. Guys, we are all, most of us are waiting for something. God's put something in our heart that we're looking forward to, that we feel like God's placed there and called us to, given us the desire for. Stay faithful as you wait for that thing. Don't try to shortchange it. Don't become discouraged. Work on yourself. Continue to lift up that thing. Continue to pursue that thing. And it might not happen quick. You know, it might be a little bit before you see that thing remedied, that thing fixed, that thing come to fruition. But just stay faithful in what God's put in your heart and your mind. I know God, you know, young people, I believe God's spoken to a lot of you guys about careers, about spouses, about things that God has for you in your future. Stay faithful in that. Stay faithful in following God and pursuing God. And also just cling to that thing that you feel like God's put in your heart. You know, like I said, you know, if you got a child that's not following God, stay faithful to that you've put the word inside of them that is there, you know, and that God will bring that to fruit and to fruition in their lives. You know, I believe God will bring those things about. We're praying for Easton that God will bring an awesome thing about in his life, and we can testify to God's goodness in his life. We're waiting on that. So just stay faithful in the waiting.